Today for us is really like our Wednesday, totally a time for us to reset. We really talk about the process that we go through to get ready. And we focus on that process, and we know that process will take care of a lot of the learning. We get another opportunity to have a division game at the end of this week, and it starts with how we focus and how we compete. That's our responsibility to one another, player to player, how hard we go. We get a couple of plays together where we just go one-on-one and see where the battle takes us. So we're looking forward to that. Before I answer some of your questions, a couple things regarding the roster today. We signed linebacker O'Brien Schofield to play Sam Backer. We waived running back Teron Ward, and linebacker Paul Warlow had a procedure done on his groin, and we'll wait and see how long his timetable is. We won't give a timetable until he goes through the procedure and treatment and rehab, and then we'll make some determinations on that. So now I am ready to answer some of your questions regarding the game for Monday night.
Coach, will you get Neil back today as you anticipated, and how important will that be for your defensive unit?
We are planning to have Neil back today. He'll be in a limited fashion, and we're looking forward to having him in. He did a good job today in the walkthrough. He's been that way in terms of his calls and his assignments. We're proud of the way he aggressively attacked his rehab after the injury, and so he's definitely chomping at the bit. We're going to take it through the next 3 days and see how he progresses, see how he performs, where his conditioning is, and then we'll make the determination at the end of the week. But all signs are pointing to good things for him heading into today.
The move with Schofield, is that in any way – a reflection of Devondre Campbell and his status and how he's progressing?
It was really more a function of Warlow being out, so we're going to put Wheeler back to an inside linebacker spot where he's had plenty of turns for us, so we needed to have some more depth on the outside, and that's where Sko has a great history being a part of the defense before, so that's where the decision came there. Campbell, still part of it. He's beginning that process of the rehab run. When he can come back, he won't participate in practice today. He's not there yet. But he is making good progress so far. He's a very resilient guy. He's shown a lot of toughness so far in this rehab. He's chomping to get going, but he's not there yet.
How advantageous is it that Schofield's been in the scheme just last year, and what do you think he'll pick up on the quickest?
Well, he's got a lot of familiarity between playing Sam linebacker. He's got 3 years in the system of playing that, so not too many calls are different. That's what we started now and through the process at lunch of the crash course of getting ready. Things that we've done differently, things that have hurt us already this year. He's a real bright guy, and Sko will pick it up quick. So, again, he's another one we're going to see how it goes for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then we'll make a determination for him at the end of the week, seeing where his conditioning in football is as well.
Are you okay with just three running backs on the active roster now?
Yeah, that's how we've been going for the last 2 weeks on game day roster on that way led. So that's how we'll go again for this week likely. And then each week, then we can kind of readdress, roster moves as they turn around. But I wouldn't think it's a long-term plan for us at running back to have only two. We've been having two active. I'm talking about on the 53.
That's the practice.
Correct.
10-year anniversary of Katrina. Do you remember that game? Did you watch that game the 10 years ago?
I didn't watch the game, but I certainly know the highlights of it. And I know the history of that and the energy that was brought, for that community and inside the building. So I have great knowledge of the history of that, but no, I didn't watch the whole game, or I can't recall the whole game in its entirety.
Coach, 47 of these games out of the 93 have been decided by a touchdown or less. It's a very intense rivalry. Even though it's a Monday night, how is it to get the guys to stay focused? Because it is a big, big game.
You know what it is, and that's really the process that we'd like to do to get ready. And so the game's still a few days away, and how can we prepare really good right now so we can play at our best? If you put it too far down, you can miss some details along the way. So for us, there's a lot of work to be done between now and then to help us get at our best. So we're going to leave that part there, and then today it's going to be about the things we have to do to play really well. And then as it builds up through the week, another division game, and just it's been such a terrific rivalry through the years, everybody feels that energy and the intensity that it brings. That won't be mistaken, but we've got a lot of work to do prior to that kickoff on Monday night.
What do you make of the Saints offense? They put up a boatload of points week one, 13 points, but they do have Drew Brees as a trigger man.
Yeah, that's where it starts. The explosiveness, we've got a lot of respect for this, for the quarterback, for the staff, for the way they know how to attack. I've said it before where he just has a knack of where to go with the ball versus this coverage. He's a very difficult guy to confuse, or he's seen most of the pressures, most of the coverage, during that time. It's going to be a heck of a challenge. One, we know we've got to try to move him and hit him. for us to be at our best. But they've got a good bit of weapons. I thought for years they've done an excellent job utilizing tight ends, how they throw to the backs, their screen game. Oh, by the way, they got some tough inside runners as well. So those weapons are all there for us. We recognize the speed outside with Cook. So they got a full arsenal of guys, and we'll have our hands full defensively for sure. We need to do some things better defensively too, and that's a good challenge for us and one we're looking forward to.
Speaking of New Orleans tight ends, how important will it be if you are without Campbell that you get Neil back with his ability to match tight ends?
That's really it's a big factor. We love that part of Keanu's game. We love that part of Devondre's game. If it doesn't work that way, we have other guys that we can do and find those matchups. But it would certainly help knowing he'll be a factor in how we want to play. But it's not the deciding factor. We'll have other ways and contingency plans to go. But I think that's what you have to do, to look ahead and see where are the matchups that they have, that we have. And it's actually the really fun part of game planning.
Coach, did y'all look at the 8 long drives with this little extra timeout of 75 yards? You have 4 stopped by aided by penalties, but is there something going on that's where it's keeping the defense from getting off the field?
We certainly have. We looked at them all, and we did have an opportunity to go back and do some self-scouting. So we won't give you all the details of things that we found, but what I can say, to have 10 missed tackles in a game was very disappointing for us. That part of our game we know can get better, and we're going to work like crazy to improve upon that. As far as scheme changes, not a lot of scheme changes. There wasn't a mismatch that got us or an issue regarding the scheme. So the things that we do, we need to do better with the addition of some new looks that we plan on having, not just this week, but every week.
Coach, you talked about the missed tackles this year. Now that you're in season, what can you do to work on that? I know you're very limited with contact and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we are from the contact, but really tackling is getting in and having the right leverage. And if you can finish plays with the right leverage, you can coach the guy all the way up until the point of the contact. And if you have the right leverage to do that, you're going to put yourself in a really good position to have that tackle. If you're kind of half going at it in practice and not owning your right leverage, then you're going to be called upon to do that in the game, and that's not what you want to do. So you want to own your leverage, be in the correct position, and we're going to coach them all the way up until the point of contact. So that's where you have to use your creativity a little bit, because it's not going to be the physical hits that are going to happen and taking the guy to the ground or a running back necessarily spinning out of a tackle. But there is a lot of work that you can do from a leverage standpoint. And then, Led, to follow up on your question, the other thing that some of those long drives, we've got to get our ball hawking going. And, the mindset for going, some of those long drives can get stopped by the turnovers. For us to only have one so far, we're going to keep going for it in every way. But that part of our game we always talk about, and I think it's been a factor in the first two, only having one out.
Coach, I know one of the themes the first couple weeks has been the no-huddle discussion.
Sure.
With the extra energy that may be in the dome and the noise, does that have any impact, being that you don't want – extra false starts or some pre-snap penalties due to the noise factor that could be extra?
Yeah, we know that part of our communication had better be on point. It's going to be a great venue and very loud. We're going to try and simulate that as best we can today. Will it be anywhere near as loud as it's going to be on Monday night? It certainly won't be. But we've got to have great, poise in what we're doing. Fortunately, we've got some really disciplined players in some really key spots, talking about the quarterback, talking about the offensive linemen. It's a very veteran group that have played a lot of games, and they had that communication down. So it's a real key for us this week, knowing whether we're in no huddle or not, that communication has to be on point. And it's, in fact, one of the topics we talked about today with the team.
Having an extra day for Julio, I'm sure it was good for the extra day of the game, but how is he progressing as the week's gone on?
He's making good progress as we're going. We won't practice him today. He's able to participate in some of the walkthroughs to get moving around. We kind of see his arrow just keep going up as the week goes. He was definitely sore coming out of the game on Sunday night and into Monday. So having the extra day this week has been a real plus for him, no doubt about it.
When did you say he's not practicing today?
He did the walkthrough today. He won't participate in practice today. He may participate in some individual work and that, but he's not going to get any team reps today.
When you have the highest-rated quarterback in the league, but – still haven't been able to really get Julio the ball that much, when you could consider he could be the best wide receiver in the league, do you tell your quarterback, get it to Julio more, or do you just say, keep doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I think we're putting the cart a little bit before the horse. We have just been in 2 games, and we got a lot of football to play, and we're going to do our very best to be the best attacking team in ball. So we know the uniqueness that Julio has, and, of course, we want to feature him in every single way that we can. He draws some unique things to him that also opens up things for some other players. But you know, for us, we know how to feature him, but did he get the amount of touches last week that he would want or we would want? Certainly not. However, that doesn't mean we weren't pleased with the other players' performance as well.
You spoke a couple of days ago about the different looks that you saw from Freeman.
Sure.
Kevin Coleman, as a defensive coordinator prepping for a game, how much more difficult does it make that guy's job to prepare for those two, the different plays you might
Yes, the question regarding the running backs. And the real challenge comes when not only can they run it, but they can catch it. And the routes they can run is much like a receiver. Oftentimes, at some teams, a running back may be moved all the way outside, but not really a factor. They're just trying to spread out the defense. Wherever those two line up, you better have an idea of where they're at, because they can take the ball deep and catch it. They can run routes that are in-breaking or out-breaking. And I think that's what makes them so unique. They're a monster together. They love battling. They love competing. It was great to see them both really get in the action over the last few weeks, or last 2 weeks, excuse me.
How do you like, is it having a guy like Williams to help you on both sides of the specialty?
Yeah, and he's such a factor in all that we do. One of the words that we use, Led, is who's going to be the one to set it off. And generally on it's kickoff or kickoff return to start a game or to start a half. And Eric Weems is somebody that sets it off. Whether it's a tackle, it's inside the 20, a punt return at the end of a game, kickoff return that he breaks out. I think it's his grit and his will that so endears him to his teammates. He just loves to compete and loves to battle. It shows in practice. You know, when you see a guy smiling and just competing and battling for it, he totally embodies, you know, as a competitor, all the things that we're looking for.
What do you see from them defensively, Coach? They held the Giants to 16. Even though they lost, they still held them to under 20.
I think that's a remarkable stat that hardly anybody's talking about. We certainly do. A couple things that jump out to me. One, I think they're really sound. You know, they don't see the exotic things that could get you into trouble. They're hard. They had some yards against them like the Giants have done in both the games. However, that's a very good ball hawking team. And so for them to, you know, go after the ball, you can see that, you can feel that. That's one of the things that, you know, that impressed me the most.
Coach, there's a lot of, like, skepticism and criticism of Matt Ryan having something to prove this season. Two games he's leading in passing yards. Do you feel like he's had a chip on his shoulder, and has he proved something in these first couple games?
He definitely has had a fantastic offseason. Much like a lot of people, often said he's a man on a mission this offseason, the way he attacked it with the team, and it carried over into our offseason with OTAs and training camp. He's a hell of a competitor, Matt is. He loves to battle. He's just kind of always in it. He's a football junkie. You come in the meeting room, you see him, and what about this play? But I think that's just the thing that jumps out to most. This guy's a hell of a competitor. He loves to battle. He loves being there for his teammates, coming through when the game's on the line. And I think that's a bigger, you know, in the overall picture. I don't know if he has a chip on his shoulder, but if it is, it stays there.
Thanks, guys.
Sure.
How did Spoon do in his head start in like 3 years?
Yeah, no doubt, Led. It's a great topic with Spoon. And after the game, I talked about Ishmael, you know, who had, I think, ended up 15 or 16 tackles in the game. But another guy who really showed up from tackling was Spoon. And I thought he was really solid. He hadn't had tons of rep at that position. We had played him at Mike. But that's where it goes back to, that versatility. Can you play more than one spot? Wheeler's now doing that. Spoon has done that. We've asked a lot of guys to be more versatile. He totally came through for the guys and played in the system exactly in the details that you'd like him to do. I was very impressed by him by the first couple weeks.